Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Fridge Air Purifier. Extend the life of your food and get rid of those bad odors for good. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and save $10 with code HOWIEFRESH.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Thursday. Very excited for my next guest. He comes on every Thursday. His name is Mark Salinas from Silva and Salinas. He's our legal expert. This is where we get to ask him all the questions we've built up over the week about legal issues in the news. Mark, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Thanks for having me. Great show today, Grace.
Thank you. Thank you. You say that every week, so I'm starting to think you're just saying it, but I do appreciate it. Mark, here's my question. My first question for you of the day is this. Charlie Baker today was announcing the Vax Millions winner, and he said the wrong name. Instead of saying, I think he meant to say Daryl Washington, and he said Daryl Williams. We actually have the sound cut. I'm going to play it for you now, Mark.
We're pleased to announce the two winners. Daryl Williams. Daryl Washington, sorry, from Weymouth.
Now, Mark, here's the question that all of us here at the Grace Curley Show have. What are the rules of this? If there is a Daryl Williams who applied for this lottery, does he too get the prize money? Is there
this
a legal?
Is the first I'm hearing about this. I don't think so, Grace. You know, because he misspoke, perhaps. If there was another Daryl Williams out there, I'm sure that they're very disappointed today. But the reality of it is, whoever's name was properly drawn would probably be the winner, and that would hold up in court.
Rats. I don't like that answer. You know what? If there is
at least one other person that doesn't feel that way, too.
If there is a Daryl Washington or Daryl Williams out there, I will represent you. I'm not a lawyer. I don't have any credentials, but I get the feeling Mark doesn't want to take on the case, so I will. Mark, my next question for you on a serious note is Suffolk DA Rachel Rollins has been nominated by President Biden to serve as the next U.S. attorney for Massachusetts. And you have some strong feelings about this. You have a background in criminal defense. So I'm going to start my question with this. What are the responsibilities for people who might not know of a district attorney in Massachusetts?
I'm sure the district attorney is an elected position here in Massachusetts. They're elected for 4 years, and essentially the DAs, there's one in each county here in Massachusetts. They're the chief law enforcement officer for that particular county, and they oversee all the line ADAs that are in courts and that they're prosecuting, the crimes that are committed here in Massachusetts.
So it is a big deal. There's a lot of responsibilities involved with that. And the reason I bring this up is because, is it true that Rachel Rollins had a no prosecute and list? And what was that list? Can you kind of go into that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So when Rachel Rollins was elected in Suffolk County, she really came in with a different approach, a very progressive approach. And the position she took, and this is what she ran on when she was seeking election, is that she was going to take the emphasis away from prosecuting, more of a petty crime, so to speak, things like trespassing and shoplifting. And it's true. What she ended up doing is early on when she took office in March 2019, she issued a policy memo called the Rollins Memo, which was basically a list of crimes that, with exception, of course, she said that her office would not be prosecuting. And what really surprised a lot of people was the length of the list and what was on there. There were some things that people didn't expect to see. So, for example, shoplifting was one of those crimes that she said, we're not going to prosecute these. Criminal threats, larceny, disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, malicious destruction of property. And so, There's certainly the argument for this, that some of these crimes should be treated differently because our courts are so backlogged. But the problem in that we found is that a lot of people were saying, you know, if it's your window that or your car that gets destroyed, you do want these crimes prosecuted. And when people know that they're not going to be prosecuted for these crimes, there's a fear out there that people are going to go ahead and commit them because there's no real consequence to it.
Right. And how, Mark, for in your perspective, how was it different practicing criminal law in Suffolk County after Rollins became the district attorney?
Oh, it was unbelievable. And I'll tell you, you know, I represent people in all over the Commonwealth that might be accused of committing some type of crime. And what I found is that you would go in to a court in Suffolk County, for example, like Chelsea District Court, and someone might be charged with a crime that in some other part of the state, they'd be looking at maybe 6 months of probation or a year of probation, and that you would be going into these courts, and the defense bar was just shocked, and the district attorneys were saying, no, we're just going to dismiss this case, you know, and the case is over. It was just completely shocking.
Yeah, and I should say this. Rachel Rollins is a, she's sometimes a guest on Howie's show. I know her parents listen to Howie's show a lot. She's always a good guest. She never, you know, shies away from talking about things and kind of having a debate, which I really admire. And I have no doubt that her thought process in implementing this stuff was to help communities. But what kind of change did you see in those communities? Did it have a positive or a negative impact in Suffolk County?
Well, I suppose it depends who you ask. And I think that a lot of people, their complaints were that we're living in high crime areas, is that it's probably not surprising. People who are obeying the law say, look, we want people to be tough on crime because, you know, the people on the street that were committing these crimes, there's no disincentive to not cause problems that they know they're not going to be prosecuted. So there was a lot of mixed responses to this. And I think a lot of people were saying, you know, maybe this isn't the best thing for our community now.
Now, Mark, I'm going to throw this one at you. I haven't given you much prep for this, but I have a feeling you'll have an opinion on it one way or the other. There's been a lot more cases recently. We had one in Massachusetts. I'm looking at one now here from Minneapolis where people are expressing their views on social media and they're being fired for it. And I specifically want to ask you about this. A biracial Harvard-educated doctor claims the hospital demoted her for opposing plans to have only black staff treat black patients in wake of the George Floyd murder. So this woman, Dr. Tara Gustillo, she's filed a discrimination complaint against her Minneapolis employer. She says she was demoted over her views. She was removed as the head of the hospital's OBGYN department after 6 years, and she was critical of Black Lives Matter, and she also objected to a hospital policy that was going to racially segregate care. So basically, black nurses take care of black patients. She had an issue with that, and she's trying to make the case, and we saw something similar in Massachusetts where a woman posted on a Facebook group in Milton saying, I don't agree with, you know, tattletaling on your neighbors. It seems very much like Nazi Germany. And she was also fired by her employer. Do these people have a strong case to be made, especially if their work record is really exceptional?
Yeah, I think they do. But one thing that they're going to, I think that the employer is going to have to show convincingly is that it somehow reflects badly on the employer and it's somehow going to affect their business. Because if they can't make that showing, then I think what you have is you have a problem here where people are just being discriminated on in the workplace because of their personal beliefs, whether it be political or religious or some other type of belief that they have. And that's where you're going to run into problems with some of these firings. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
But Mark, I understand in some situations, if you are running, say, a media company like a Fox News or something, they usually have clauses that if the personality or the public figure embarrasses them or makes their company look bad, they have every right to, you know, terminate the contract or fire them. But in the case of these women, these are people who, besides, you know, their Facebook following or maybe their coworkers, it's not going to damage the reputation of the company worldwide. I don't think that these people are public figures. They're just people with opinions. So where do you draw the line of saying, oh, well, you could hurt the company with that opinion? That is kind of a vague way of putting it.
It is, and I think one of the other questions you need to look at is if they have a policy like that, is it being administered equally? So, for example, if someone has a different political opinion and raises that on social media, are they also being treated the same way? Meaning, look, you're not allowed to do that, and so you're going to suffer the same consequence as another employee. Where they get into problems, I think, is that if they're just singling out people for a specific type of political view, that's where there's going to be problems.
Yeah, and lastly, Mark, I know I ask a similar question every week, but when I tell you that I get this question once a day from, you know, family and friends, a lot of companies are now mandating this vaccine, and some people I know, they want to know if this is legal and what are their options if they do not want to get the vaccine, especially because it's emergency use vaccine. What are the laws surrounding this?
Well, I think the employers, the way this is starting to play out, is that the employers are maybe able to say, look, you have to get the vaccine, but it can't be an absolute mandate. What I mean is this. If they're going to have to be able to recognize medical and religious exemptions, and they can't get away from that, from what I see. They just can't. And then the other thing that I think you're starting to see a little bit of a pivot here with the employers is that they're not saying absolutely you have to get vaccinated. They're saying you have to get vaccinated, but if you don't get vaccinated, what we're going to require is regular testing. And I think that you're seeing that subtle change now because the employers know that if they're challenged on an absolute vaccine mandate, they may not be able to succeed if they're in a lawsuit.
Yeah, and I think probably what will end up happening is that, you know, if people are told they still have to wear masks or they have to, like you said, get frequent testing, enough of those people might feel the crunch and just end up getting vaccinated just for the sake of not having to do all of those inconveniences. Mark Salinas from Silva & Salinas, where can people find you if they have questions? Where can they call your offices?
Well, you can find us online. We're at silvasalinas.com. Our office is up in North Andover, and we're always happy to take calls from people.
Thank you so much, Mark. We look forward to having you on next week. Our friends at Eden Pure are launching a new refrigerator air purifier that is guaranteed to keep your food fresher for longer. How? Well, I'm going to explain it. There's going to be no more frustration from opening up the fridge to find wilted, rotting, smelly food. That's the worst feeling. It makes you lose your appetite. It uses the same technology as the best-selling Thunderstorm that has sold over 100,000 units. So the Eden Pure refrigerator air purifier has a rechargeable battery and goes right into your fridge to kill fungus, bacteria, and mold that rot your food. By slowing this natural process, you'll have more time to enjoy the food you bought, you'll be saving money on your grocery bills, and with no more extra trips to the grocery store to replace rotten, spoiled food, you'll be a lot happier. It's smaller than a soda can. It barely takes up any space. You won't even know it's there except by how much longer your food lasts and how there's not a bad smell anymore. Jared, I've noticed it a lot with the fridge we have here because you have so many different people in an office. People bring in different kinds of food. Howie likes fish. I like cheese, as you were so nice to point out the other day. You like Indian food.
Yes.
All of that's good on its own, but you combine it in a fridge, it can get a little stinky.
Yeah, and anybody who's been in an office setting understands what we're talking about with a shared fridge. But we've all been able to eat the foods we want, and there hasn't been any smell, and it's great. Nobody's kind of like, ugh, you know, don't go in the kitchen for the next hour. You know, we're not sort of frantically searching through there. It's like, okay, what is the smell? What's the problem? You know, your productivity is increased. You don't have to worry about smells. It's great. You don't mind putting your food in there because when you take it out, it doesn't taste like tuna.
You know, exactly. And also, if you just have like a small closet or a pantry where you think it gets a little smelly, this is just a great product for any small space that you want to freshen up. Keep your food fresher for longer with Eden Pure right now. Eden Pure is offering $10 off the lowest sale price to my listeners. That's right, $10 off the lowest sale price and free shipping. That's an incredible deal. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Put in code word GRACEFRESH. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACEFRESH. Hurry, these will sell out quickly, so don't delay. We'll be right back with more of your calls, 844-500-4242. We're talking student debt next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I steered clear of some of these Biden cuts, but a few have caught my eye that I think might be worth playing. Could I get Joe Biden, Jared, getting whispery? This is cut 10.
But when working families do well, everybody does well, including the wealthy. Everybody.
He's got to drop that. It's so condescending. It's like he's talking to a bunch of little kids.
Look, you dumb bastards.
Clap, you stupid bastards. I also would like to play the cut that runs 18 seconds, Jared. I think it's cut 18.
Back in 2009, during the so-called Great Recession, the president asked me to be in charge of managing that piece, then President Trump.
Woo!
Excuse me, Freudian slip. That was the last president. He caused, anyway, that was President Obama when I was vice president.
I love how he has to tell us who Trump is. That was the last president. Oh, really? I had no idea, because you guys only talk about him every single day.
Yeah, the guy with the hair, right.
We almost forgot about Trump. Every time we fill up our gas tanks, we say, you know, the last guy, what was his name? The cost of gasoline was not this high. If I could just remember his name. It's really amazing. You know that Rihanna song, Must Be Love on the Brain? It should be Must Be Trump on the Brain. I mean, it's not a Freudian slip. It's just a slip. It's a slip of the tongue, as Snopes would say. Yeah, so absolutely ridiculous. And Joe Biden's got a lot of issues right now. There's a lot of unexpected news coming out. And they have a new way of phrasing it. I'm looking at this today. It says, hold on, sorry, here, U.S. GDP falls short as supply chain disruptions, labor shortages stunt comeback. The U.S. economy grew less than expected in the 3 months through June. You know what less than expected equals, Jared? Unexpectedly! That's what less than expected is. But we have to kind of, you know.
120 days. Yeah, come on, man.
Give me some time. Give and time. Also, speaking of Joe Biden, he was, when he was giving all of those words of wisdom in Pennsylvania, he showed up and there was a lot of Trump fans in the crowd. A lot of middle fingers, which I do not support here. We like to treat each other with kindness, but do not seem like the Pennsylvania folk were that excited to see Scran Joe, surprisingly. And I would be remiss if I didn't talk a little bit today about the Kristen Sinema news. This is really interesting. Kristen Sinema is quickly becoming one of my favorite Democrats of all time. She is the GOAT. The GOAT gets thrown around a lot, but I'm going to say she's my favorite of all time. Kristen Sinema blocks Democrats' plan to spend $3.5 trillion on infrastructure, setting up major cuts. Kristen Sinema, she's the senator from Arizona, on Wednesday came out in opposition to Democrats' $3.5 trillion spending blueprint, virtually ensuring her party would be forced to make substantial cuts to get her on board. The moderate Democrat said, the last moderate Democrat in America is the way to actually phrase this. I wouldn't even consider Joe Manchin one. He's just going along to get along.
Mitt Romney's a pretty moderate Democrat.
Yeah, that's true. The moderate Democrat said while she supported efforts to bolster the country's economic competitiveness and an infrastructure plan, she believed the bill was too large. I totally agree. And you know what happened with this. AOC was not happy. This is what AOC wrote back to Kristen Sinema, someone who actually makes her constituents happy. You notice that? Kristen Sinema has nothing to worry about. People in Arizona are very happy. Her popularity keeps rising. I don't know if I could say the same about AOC. AOC says, good luck tanking your own party's investment on childcare, climate action, and infrastructure while presuming you'll survive a 3-vote House margin, especially after choosing to exclude members of color. We're going to the racism card here. From negotiations and calling that a bipartisan accomplishment.
Racism, racism.
This is from Red State. The Arizona senator has only seen her popularity rise in her home state, including among Republicans, all but ensuring she's reelected when the time comes. In regards to the charge of racism by AOC, that's ridiculous. Sinema did not exclude any members of color. There are only two black Democrat senators. I believe at least one of them is currently working on.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Beto O'Rourke, civil rights leaders embark on nearly 30-mile march for Texas voting rights. Beto has a lot of time on his hands lately.
Is he going 30 miles south?
That would be a good idea. Speaking of, Jared, you just gave me a great segue. For a long time, we've been hearing about how Kamala Harris is getting to the root of the migration problems in this country. And, you know, I kept saying over and over again, if you want to find the root of the problem at the southern border, I suggest you walk down the hall, knock on the Oval Office door. You'll find Joe there. He'll likely be maybe having a bowl of ice cream, maybe drinking some orange Gatorade, maybe pulling a dog's tail, maybe stoking the fire. You knock on that door, he answers, and you say, Joe, alas, I have found the root of our problems. And maybe both of you go stand in front of a mirror and take a good, long, hard look. But no, Kamala Harris instead has been doing a lot of research. You know, she's been traveling around in order to work to address the hardships that cause people to leave Central America and come to our border. And finally, she has figured out the root causes and she's released them for all of us, which is very generous of her. Vice President Kamala Harris released a five-pronged strategy Thursday that she said would get at the root causes of migration. Now, I'm going to go through some of these. Part one involves addressing economic insecurity and inequality. Part two, the administration said in a fact sheet Tuesday morning, entails combating corruption, strengthening democratic governance, and advancing the rule of law. Part three focuses on promoting respect for human rights, labor rights, and free press, while part four addresses countering and preventing violence, extortion, and other crimes perpetuated by criminal gangs, trafficking networks, and other organized criminal organizations. I'm getting tired of reading all these.
I don't blame you. I'm tired of listening to it.
We have a lot of work to do. I'm only on part four, Jared. Buckle
up.
It's
just words.
Part five, dealing with combating sexual, gender-based, and domestic violence. This is all things we have to combat in other countries in order to stop the flow of migration that's happening on our southern border.
How much you want to bet stopping this involves giving her more money?
Oh, well, it always ends up costing us money. I mean, that goes without saying.
The only way to stop gender wars in Nicaragua is to give more money to the United States government.
And I would thought we were worried about gender disparities in Pakistan. So we must have figured out that issue.
That's covered under the COVID bill. Don't worry about that.
Okay, good. Because I was starting to think here, I hope that doesn't get pushed
Nicaraguan
aside.
Nicaraguan gender studies is infrastructure.
Now, Jerry, can we find this Randy Weingarten clip and play it for people? It seems to be getting a lot of play here. Randy Weingarten is the head of the second largest teachers union in America. And I'm going to try to figure out the best way I can put this. She's not a good person. And I try to use that pretty sparingly. But this woman is gaslighting parents across America day in and day out. She kept the schools closed. My favorite meme that happened with Randy Weingarten is when she did this New York Times like puff piece and they had a photo of her. You know, I'm sure it was shot by like Annie Leibovitz and she's staring off into the distance, and it said something along the lines of like Randy's trying to reopen schools, and somebody online put a picture of the white Bronco from up above, and it said Randy Weingarten going to find whoever kept the schools closed. In other words, this is all you're doing. Physician, heal thyself. You're the one who didn't let the kids go back to school, and just like now we're being told that, wait, conservatives are the ones who wanted to defund the police, now we're also being told that conservatives were the ones who kept the kids out of school. Randy Weingarten has been trying very hard for months to get the kids back. She ran with that for a while, I think, when she thought the scam was over. She was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm on board with opening up for sure, definitely. And now that she's getting wind that we're going to go into another lockdown, she's flipping the switch again, and she's changing it up. Let's listen.
Really thrown this curveball that says that while vaccination is the number one gold standard, that we need to, you know, bring back our masks for schools. So the bottom line is we're going to keep kids safe. We're going to keep our members safe. And we're going to try to open up schools. And we're going to try to move through this political battlefield.
I smell a rat in that word. If you were listening to that, You know what? Play it again, because I want to play a game with the audience. I want you to listen to this cut again, and there's one word in there that gives away the game.
Really thrown this curveball that says that, well, vaccination is the number one gold standard, that we need to, you know, bring back our masks for schools. So the bottom line is we're going to keep kids safe. We're going to keep our members safe. And we're going to try to open up schools, and we're going to try to move through this political battlefield.
Did you get it? I know what it is. Try. We're going to try to open up schools. Parents across America, your ears should be perking up right there. That is code for it's not happening. That's code for this is going to happen all over again. This woman is such a fraud. She has done more damage to these children than any journalist would ever dare say. It's embarrassing. People should be livid about this, not just parents. That's something I want to make clear, is that I was part of this group that I didn't really pay attention to it for a long time. I don't have young kids. I don't have any kids. So I'm lucky enough right now where I don't have to deal with this day in and day out. But then when you start thinking about it, you're like, even if you don't have kids, this is a young generation that eventually is going to be like doctors and electricians and lawyers. And we're doing so much damage to them. It's so unfair. And she's just an absolute fraud. And I love how she says, we're going to try. What is their excuse now? They couldn't open because they needed to be vaccinated. Now we have an abundance of vaccines. And they're not mandating them getting vaccinated, the teachers. But the only thing they're holding on to now, like their final last thing, is, well, the kids, it's not approved for kids yet. It's such BS. I can't even imagine how they could argue it. It's just, if you're a parent, people must see right through this. This is the biggest scam I've ever seen. Now, speaking of school, this is a good segue. Pelosi surprised me yesterday. She's all over the map. She called Kevin McCarthy a moron when she was getting into her gas-guzzling SUV. She was talking about how, you know, masks are mandated, and news broke today that if you do not wear a mask in the Capitol building, if you're part of the House of Representatives, you will, I think, be fined first. And then if you don't comply, you will be arrested, because we've all lost our minds. Like, this is, I would say, bizarro world, but it doesn't do it justice. Now, Jared, can you find what you had been reading to me recently about the guy who's bringing his aides to the center of the Capitol so that he can cross the boundary and be in the non-COVID zone? Because I think that really does summarize just how insane this is. We all notice this stuff. You know, you walk into a restaurant, you're like, why don't I get COVID sitting down? But when I lift my head up and stand up, I'm in, you know, COVID zone. Why can I walk through with a mask, but I can sit down with that one? Nothing made any sense. And I think Pelosi reissuing this asinine mask mandate while having the doctor explain it to people without a mask on is backfiring. Listen to this tweet.
Yes, this is Rep. Thomas Massey from Kentucky. At Speaker Pelosi directed the Capitol Hill police chief to arrest maskless staff and visitors in the Capitol. The only problem is she isn't queen of the Senate side. So I took my staff to the middle of the Capitol to visit the line between the House and the Senate where COVID stops.
It's just, it's insane. And the other part of it that I find funny is Pelosi wasn't done yesterday. She was making comments left and right. And I think she probably angered the squad. She went back to kind of old Pelosi before she had lost her mind. Because at one point, I say this a lot, Pelosi was more on the normal side than most Democrats. At one point, she was like the person who was trying to keep back the squad. She was, you know, okay, everyone calm down. We're not going to impeach. This is a bad idea. Those days are over. She went full in. She's with the squad now. She's there. You know, it's the only way she can keep her job. If she does not say exactly what they want, she'll lose her gig, which she's what, like 98 years old? You'd think she'd be okay with that at this point. She's $100 million. Retiring sounds like the normal thing to do. But for these Democrats, it's just power. So she does anything she can to keep her job. And listen, though, she had a moment of clarity when she was talking about canceling student loan debt. Elizabeth Warren, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Democrats are not going to be happy about this. Cut 25.
People think that the president of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone. He can delay. But he does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress.
She also went on to say, suppose your child just decided they at this time don't want to go to college, but you're paying taxes to forgive somebody else's obligations. You may not be happy about that. Huh. You're on thin ice there, Nance. I would watch what you're saying. You're getting a little too boomer ruby for the progressives. And lastly, before we go here, I did want to let you guys know that, you know what? I'll read this headline quick, but I do want to hit this story a little bit. D.C. mayor announces plans to add 170 police officers to the city's force amid rising violence, horrible violence happening in D.C. And we talked a little bit with Chris Bedford about it earlier in the week. He has a good piece in The Federalist you guys should check out. The mayor of Washington, D.C. has announced a plan to add 170 police officers to the city's force amid rising crime. I believe Muriel Bowser is a big fan of Black Lives Matter. Would seem that a lot of people who supported Black Lives Matter are now having sudden spikes in crime.
Maybe you shouldn't have put the mural down in the street there.
Yeah. Muriel Bowser, a Democrat, said on Wednesday that she is requesting an additional $11 million from the city council to pay for the hiring and training of 20 additional officers in the 2021 financial year. I don't know what happened. It's strange. The MPD normally hires 250 officers each year, but last year the DC council decided to defund the police to the tune of $15 million to the disapproval of the mayor. She said that amid rising crime, she told the MPD to make officers work overtime, but said the more needed to be done in the long term. Who could have seen this coming? Not I. And lastly, I hit on this a little bit with our lawyer, but biracial doctor demoted by hospital for opposing racially segregated care. This is a really crazy story. I have a feeling we're going to hear more about it. A Harvard-educated biracial physician was removed as the head of the OBGYN department of a Minneapolis hospital after she opposed a new policy of offering patients segregated care based on race. Dr. Tara Castillo filed a discrimination complaint against Hennepin Healthcare System last month, alleging that she was demoted for criticizing the Black Lives Matter movement on her social media page. She alleges that she was removed from her position despite receiving rave job performance reviews during her six-year stint as the head of a 32-person team. She says she received one of the highest patient satisfaction ratings of all the doctors in that hospital. In the wake of the police-involved killing of George Floyd last year, Castillo criticized anti-racist training, claiming that it was actually teaching racism. Castillo says she was demoted from her position as the head of the OBGYN department because she opposed a hospital policy of racially segregated care. Instead, the approach being promoted is to teach. So she talks about critical race theory, really, is what she's getting at. But she says, instead, the approach being promoted is to teach that because a person is white, they are necessarily racist and privileged. Isn't this the type of thinking we are trying to eradicate? Castillo said she was removed as the head of the OBGYN department because some of my colleagues saw my post and determined I was no longer fit to be chair. They did not like her philosophy, and they thought it could potentially cause their patients to mistrust our department. Castillo says that despite stellar job performance reviews, she was demoted on the pretext of being unfit to lead the department. She alleges that the new policy instituted by the department had black caregivers assigned to black patients. Why would people who claim to fight racism want segregation, she asked. She also alleges that colleagues grew disillusioned with her insistence that a letter of support in the wake of Floyd's death not include the phrase, "We share your feelings of horror, grief, trauma, and unrest." Her theory was if you put unrest in there, it makes it seem like we're supporting all this violence that's happening. She claims the department agreed to her request to remove the word unrest, but my colleagues resented my insistence that we all agree and feel comfortable with the wording of the letter. Castillo claims that in response to her efforts to promote a culture of equal treatment and individual respect as a solution to racism, her colleagues accused her of being racist and of having a mental breakdown. We're going to see more and more stories like this. Every time I have a guest on, like a parent who gets up at a school board meeting, or, you know, someone who's really brave and and questions authority and speaks out. My first question is, you know, what do you do? Because most times the people say, I'm self-employed, like I own my own business. Because you're not going to get people who work for these companies sharing their views anymore if this is what's going to happen, if they're going to get fired because they don't want bricks being thrown through windows or they don't want people being segregated based off their skin color. And then people wonder, oh, you're so afraid of cancel culture. This is cancel culture. This is a normal woman who had a different viewpoint. And now she's being shut out from her hospital. It's despicable. We'll be back on the other side with Howard Lawrence Carr. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
And the winner of the Vax Millions is, and this is a totally on the level Grace Curley announcement, Howard Lawrence Carr. Thanks for coming. Oh, I'm sorry. I read the wrong name. Shoot, Howie, I hope you didn't get your hopes up.
No, I didn't, because I have a Florida driver's license now.
Charlie Baker managed to mess that one up. How you think he's getting some blowback for that?
It's weird. You know, I told you Daryl Williams was the Charlestown High School black student who was shot in 1979 while at a football practice, and he was crippled. And, I mean, it's a name from the past. I mean, it was a sad thing. It led to a lot of riots, but it's been a long time ago.
Yeah, it was strange. But, you know, it's just one of these incidences of government trying to incentivize this virus, I mean this vaccine, and trying to get people to get the vaccine.
I think they're incentivizing the virus, though.
That was a Freudian slip.
That was a real Freudian slip, unlike calling Trump the president in 2009.
By the way, Howie has an unbelievable show plan. You guys are definitely going to want to tune in. Also, if you go to spectator.us or Spectator World, my latest piece is up. I'm giving some advice to the Biden administration. I'm not charging the usual DC rate for consulting fees. This is all free. I encourage them to take me up on some of this. And one of my biggest pieces of advice, Howie, was if they really want people to get vaccinated, they should make them a guarantee that if they get vaccinated, Dr. Fauci won't be on their TV for at least 1 year. They'll be left alone.
I want a debate one-on-one between Majority Leader Schumer and Speaker Pelosi, why Pelosi thinks there should be masks on her side of the building, and Schumer why there's no masks on his side of the building.
It's the invisible COVID line that's drawing down the Capitol right now. It's so sad to see. All right, Howie's coming up next, guys. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
One of the most overlooked areas of retirement planning is having a tax strategy. Most everyone agrees that taxes will be going up in the future. And if you're headed for retirement soon, you have to protect what you have. Kevin Frisby, president and CEO of Frisby & Associates, says one solution could be a Roth conversion.
What does a Roth conversion mean? Well, you're going to have a time to say, all right, my income's going to land here. And now you look at your tax brackets. And then I'm going to say, all right, we can take this amount of money, bring you all the way up to the top of that next tax bracket, convert that from an IRA to a Roth IRA, and completely mitigate the taxes forever after that fact.
If that sounds good to you, call Kevin and the team at Frisby & Associates at 800-989-9100. Take advantage of the no-cost consultation. They'll take a deep dive into your current portfolio and offer solutions to help you create the kind of retirement you've always wanted. Call 800-989-9100 and schedule that no-cost consultation today. 800-989-9100.